Powerful reminder, right? The verse concludes by saying, the one who stands firm will be saved. Thank you. Yeah. And I think it's a call to us, right, as Christians, as we gather today to worship God. We are called to be firm in our faith, to be rooted in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so thank God for the opportunity that God has given to us, that we can come together, not only to worship God, but to live a life pleasing God and to live out our calling. Right? Let's pray and ask God to help us. Father, we thank you for your word that is given to us even today, Father. We thank you that as we read, as we dwell on your word, as we pray, God, that you will reveal yourself to us. We want to know you and help us, Lord, to be ready for your coming. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The passage that was just read to us, it's an event that took place in the last week of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine, you know, Jesus is spending the last moments with the disciples, and these are some things that he wanted the disciples to know. And very interestingly, I think one of the disciples, we do not know the name, in Mark chapter 13, verse 1, comes, you know, and says, Lord, do you see this wonderful building, right? This magnificent building. They are awesome. Right, and so, but then you see the reply of the Lord Jesus Christ differently. Right? Can you imagine? You know, when he says these words, and Jesus said, "Not one stone here will be left; everyone will be thrown down." Right? Let me. So he says, you know, do you see all these great buildings? You know, I was just trying to imagine when this particular disciple was saying, there might be a lot of excitement in him, because to the Jew, the temple was their pride, right? For Canada, I think Niagara Falls, right? Whenever anyone comes to Canada, you say, did you visit Niagara Falls? Because let me tell you, you know, one of the first places that we visited as a family was Niagara Falls, and we were just amazed to see, right? And so we will say, did you visit Niagara Falls? Did you go to CN Tower? You know, so we want, and can you imagine if someone says, you know, this Niagara Falls, you know, one day will just fall down, will be just become a river. I think we'll be offended, right? Because that is their pride. And similarly, you know, when Jesus was saying, I was just trying to imagine, this was the pride of the Jewish people, right? For them, it's the temple. Everything is about the temple. Anyone who visits Jerusalem, they will say, come and see the temple, because it's a wonderful, it's a powerful and a magnificent building. But Jesus, you know, commented by saying, not one stone here will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down. In other words, Jesus was speaking about the second coming, right? That he's going to come back. And for a moment, if you look at the passage, you know, the disciples were just keeping quiet. For a moment, I feel they were shocked. How can this Lord say such a word? You know, this is the pride of our country, right? We always look up to the temple, and Jesus is saying those words. And I believe they were just quiet, probably upset. They did not know what to say or comment or make certain kinds of remarks. But then, if you look at the passages very carefully, you know, some of the disciples, or maybe Peter, James, John, and Andrew, right, privately came to Jesus, right? In the two passages, you'll see they came privately because they wanted to talk to Jesus and to ask him, you know, Lord, tell us. Three important things they're asking Jesus. One is, you know, when will this happen? Tell us, because they knew that the Lord Messiah is going to come back, right? Probably they were thinking that he's going to overturn the Roman Empire, but they wanted to know, when will this happen? And what is a sign of your coming? Right? And what is the sign of the end of the age? There were three important questions, my friend. I do not know how many of us actually dwell on this second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you know, this was the question the disciples were posing to Jesus, wanting to know. I believe every Christian ought to ask this question, even, and that's why the Bible says, stay awake, be alert, right? Because you do not know when will the Lord come, and his coming is soon. I'm not going to go in terms of details of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. if God willing, next year I'll try to do a series on the second coming, talking about the rapture, right? The time of tribulation, 7 years of tribulation, and how God establishes his kingdom in this world. But today I thought it will just have a bird's eye view to see what Jesus was teaching about the second coming and the importance of it and how we should be preparing. The second coming of Christ is important because when you look at the Old Testament prophecies that was prophesied, you know, one third talks about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? One third talks about that Jesus is coming as the Messiah, as the Savior. He will be born. But two-thirds of the Old Testament prophecies speaks about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us the importance of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us that each and every one of us, including myself, need to be alert, right, and ready, because God will come, and He is coming to establish His kingdom in this world, my friend. And so, but at the same note, you know, when you talk about second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to your friends or even to your colleagues, you know, sometimes they might say such words, you know, they like what Peter is trying to say in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, and I believe many are saying today, right, people who don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, people who embrace other isms of faith, they will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. You know, I think today many are saying, when you talk about, you know, Jesus is coming back to your friend, they will smile at you, right? They might think, what is this guy trying to say, right? Is he out of his mind? They might think, you know, you are still in the old days kind of a thing. We are living in a very scientific age, right? Technology has advanced, and so people don't believe in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very important, when I look at the word scoffers, right? In the English word, it means people who ridicule you or make fun of you. But the word in the Hebrew word is a different word altogether. It's not about people who make fun, right? The Hebrew word, it means the ambassadors. They make fun, the ambassadors, because they will draw people towards their side. And that's why you will see a lot of other things are just growing in this world. Other ideologies are growing in this world, my friend. They are not just making fun of Christianity, but they are saying there's other way to attain God, to experience God in our lives. And so we are living in such an age and time. And so Jesus is talking about four or five things I'll share with you very briefly. Right? If, as I said, in God willing, next year I'll try to go in terms of a series. The first thing Jesus says, some of the signs, you know, each and every one of you should be staying awake and looking out, right? Looking out what's happening. First thing, you know, Jesus talks about in this particular verse, he says the destruction of the temple will happen. In verse 2, he says, not one stone. I think all of us know our history pretty well, right? The destruction of the Jerusalem temple took place during the time of during AD 70, right? In AD 66, what was happening? The Jews revolted against the Roman rule, right? They were very furious what's happening to them. And so when they revolted again, the Romans came. They destroyed the city of Jerusalem, including the temple in AD 70. After Jesus said that word, 40 years later, this incident happened, my friend. First sign, done, right? The destruction of the temple took place. And this is a sign. And so what's happening? We are coming close, right? We are coming close. And when you look at the Bible, you know, the second coming of Christ is always talked in terms of birth pains. It means, right, it's going to intensify, right? It's going to come. We are living in the last days. We are, you know, the child will come anytime. It will increase. The pain will increase. The destruction of the temple was the first one that happened in history, my friend, right? By the Emperor Titus. He was the one who who marched the people and brought them, destroy the temple. Secondly, there will be deception and false teaching that will happen, right? It's what is mentioned in this particular passage. There will be scoffers, there will be false teachers. They will say, here I am, I'm the Messiah, right? Special messengers will come. With special messages, they will come, so proclaiming, you know, that they are the Christ. And I was trying to find out, you know, in terms of how many of them, and I realized there were so many people in history, right, who claimed that they are the Messiah, right? And they were trying to have followers who will actually follow them. And they came with a lot of messages saying that, you know, they are the ones. They are the ones, right? And today, when you look at not only deception, but also false teachings, my friend, when you look at teachings, doctrine means teaching. It means, you know, there are two kinds of teaching that is happening. We need to be very careful as Christians, right? You will not see people coming and standing in the pulpit and saying, no, Jesus is not Lord, right? That's the extreme, my friend. But Satan, in a very subtle way, he brings about false teaching. You know, when you look at the sound teaching originates from God. So God is the main person. He's the creator. He's the one who creates. And scripture is the authority. That's sound doctrine, right? Everything originates from God, and God is the center of everything. Our relationship is with God. It's about God, right? I'm created because I belong to God, and I need to belong to Him at all times. Whereas false teaching, it's about men, man's desire. Man becomes the center of everything, right? Man becomes the God. Man becomes the idol. Everything is about men, his desires. It's not about God. What pleases me, what makes me joyful, it contradicts part of the scripture, not the entire scriptures, right? Part of the scriptures. Let me tell you, you know, there are people who look at the scriptures, they preach from the scriptures, at the same time, they also deny, you know, there are things about scriptures, right? And that's why I think the Bible says, you know, in the last days you will look for people, you know, who will speak messages that will just soothe them, their hearing. Three things, when you look at Christianity and other faith, you know, what's happening in... When you look at what's happening in the world today, right? The one is called exclusivism. In other words, Jesus is the only way. There are churches that preach us, Jesus is the only way. There is no other way, period, right? Jesus is the only way to heaven. And Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the only way, right? And the truth and life. There's another thinking which is also happening in the world today. Is inclusivism. In other words, salvation is by Christ. Yes, it's by Christ, but it includes people who have not heard the gospel, my friend. Can you imagine? And people of other traditions of faith can also be included. That sounds good, right? I think that's the way, because I think what's happening, we have been, you know, having pressures of the society, and we say, you know, it's okay. Like people of other faith, other tradition, even though they have not heard the Lord Jesus Christ, they can also be saved. Thirdly, another thing that's happening is pluralism. In other words, all religions are ways to relate to God. Christ is just another way. Right? Christ is just another way. There are churches in our neighboring country, right, where, you know, they have mega churches, by the way, where they preach saying that Christ is another way. There are so many ways. It's like just climbing a mountain, right? Every person is climbing a mountain from a different side of the mountain. But whatever it is, you're climbing the mountain. That's it. So that's pluralism. And let me tell you, right, Satan works in a very subtle way, my friend. He brings in such things into the church life too. And so what will happen? I was just reading an article by the Canadian Christian Association. They say either, right, we will dilute, in other words, right? Jesus will become an option, or we might assimilate, right, with others and not make a difference in this world and not defend our faith. So we will dilute and just make Jesus an option, or we will just surrender to the social pressure and give up our differences, and we will say, yes, Jesus is another teacher. Jesus is another way, and because it's safe. In a climate like today, right, sometimes it's safe not to talk about our religion. Why? I don't want to have problems, right? We don't want to have issues. I think we are living in an age where we will try to assimilate, my friend. We don't want to offend people. That's the kind of age that we are living. Thirdly, you know, when you look at it, Jesus also saying, right, in the last days, what happens, right? He's talking about birth pains, right? As I said, he was talking about desolation. In other words, there'll be wars, rumors of wars, right? Those are signs, three things: wars, earthquakes, and famines will happen, right? So these are signs happening. When I was looking, I was just studying on this particular passage and trying to see, and I realized there were so many wars in the entire history of the world. Right, in New York Times in the year 2003, they said, out of the past 3,400 years, humans have been entirely at peace for 268 of them. In other words, just 8% of recorded history. There's a lot of wars that's happening, civil wars, right, happening. And today, I think it's becoming trade wars, too, that's happening in the world, right? There have been wars, it's been increasing, and it's increasing. You know, when is peacetime? Peacetime when countries, they recharge themselves, right? They buy ammunition and then recharge themselves. And that's happening in the world today. In World War I, I think many of you will, masters of history will know that so many people died in World War I, right? World War II, 72 million people died, and in World War I was 20 million people died. Just lives have been just gone. War's been happening. Let me tell you, do not take it lightly. When things of this nature happens, these are signs of the times, my friend. Right? Look at the world, what's happening in the world. Right? It's very uncertain, and we know that Christ is coming soon. Let me move on. Jesus is also talking about famine. Right, whenever we think of famine, which country comes to our mind? Egypt, okay. Africa, right? Many times, whenever you know people want to raise funds for people who are having famine, we'll always show. But let me tell you, throughout the world, there are many countries having famine. In other words, they don't have sufficient food, my friend. And I was just looking at, you know, this from this particular source. It says, you know, can you imagine people, even though we have advanced so much, there are people who are just going through difficulties in terms of, you know, finding food and bringing food to the table, my friend. It's not only Africa. It's not only Asia. But let me tell you, it also is happening in Canada. Do you know that? I had two videos to show, but let me not show you today. You know? But when I was looking at, I was doing some kind of studies about Canada, I realized, you know, this is what it said. You know, it says there have been a spike in food bank use across the country. Can you imagine? Let me tell you the number. The number is 863,492 people are going to the food bank in Canada, in an advanced and a developed country, right? They're going to the food bank. Millennials who are here, hello? My next slide will tell you, right? The study noted that millennials aged 18 to 34 are the most likely to turn to food banks for help. Can you imagine? You would say, what? Millennials, they are more likely to turn to food banks for help. And that is happening in our country. One in seven families in Canada are living below the poverty line in Canada. One in seven families. 1 million kids in Canada go to school hungry. 50% high schoolers, 50% of boys don't eat. They don't have breakfast to eat when they go to school. 67% of girls in high school, I don't know whether they skip their food, but you know, they go to school hungry. Can you imagine? In this part of the world, families are going through difficulties. There are famines that's happening, my friend. 45% of Canadians are in social programs. They need help from the government. It's not only Africa. It's not only Asia. It's not only in the Middle East, my friend. It's just on our doorstep, right? It's happening. And so we need to be careful, and I think what Jesus is teaching us, you know, we need to be aware, stay alert, right? Things are happening in this world. Let me move on. There'll be a time of distress. In other words, it says, you must be on guard, right? You'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you'll stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And then Jesus goes on and talks about, you know, so in other words, there'll be a time of persecution, right? I do not know. I think many of us, you know, for us, it's something, a new word for us, right? A new word in our vocabulary. We know the word, but we have not gone through in terms of pains or struggles, you know, to profess our faith. But the map I'll show you by Open Doors, right? Maybe if your eyesight is good, you will see the extreme, the mountains in maroon color, right? Are extreme persecution that's happening in that part or part of the world. One of the top countries, North Korea, right? In Asia, there's a lot of countries in Asia that's been affected. Even Sri Lanka is a place where persecution is happening, right? There's a lot of, and if you look at the very high, right, it's brown color and the green, it looks like, you know, the red and brown are becoming much more stronger. That's persecution that's happening in the world today. And it's also happening in Canada, right? The way it is defined, persecution, it's different, right? So in Canada, when, you know, by the way, before this, look at it, right? 255 Christians are killed every month. Can you imagine? For the sake of Christ. 255. 66 churches are attacked every month. We do not know, right? Because maybe we think nothing is happening here. 160 Christians are detained without trial or, right, and imprisoned, my friend. Can you imagine that's happening? That's happening in the world today. The more I read, the more I see all these things, I think, you know, I realize, you know, the Lord is coming. And it also says 80% of those who are discriminated are also are Christians in the world today. It's a sad, right? In Canada, I was looking at the study, and this was what the Canadian article spoke about it. It says, by the Canadian Christian Council of Christian Charities, right? Right? Living in exile as a minority. That's happening in Canada. That's happening also in Canada. One of the pastors in Korea, not in Kenya, said this, right? He said, when I see more and more Africans being converted, I just conclude that each one is a candidate for persecution. Can you imagine? Don't take our Christian life for granted. I think God has given us the opportunity to live a life for Him. Right, we have not faced persecution like any other, the people in other countries are facing, my friend. Can you imagine? This pastor is saying, you know, each and every person will become a candidate for persecution. These are signs of the times, right? These are signs of the times. The Lord is coming, and He's coming soon. Let me move on, right? And lastly, you know, it says the declaration of the gospel will happen. The word of God will be told, and today the word of God has been just spread, you know, like wildfire. It's just spreading because of internet, because of technology that's happening, right? because of print, and even I was reading an article from Wycliffe Bible Translators, right? It's much more easier to translate the Bible today. And they say in another 20 years' time, right, almost all people group will have a Bible in their own language. In other words, we are almost there. We are living in the times where we can expect the coming of the Lord soon. I realize 1/3 of the entire world's population are Christians, including Catholics. Right? So Christianity is growing. But very interesting to know, maybe this is something that we need to know also, right? Islam is growing much more faster than Christianity in terms of growth. They say Islam will overtake Christianity. In terms of growth, I think it's around plus 76% in terms of growth. In the phase of growth, Islam is much more faster. Maybe our numbers are big, but there will be a time, right, Islam will outgrow Christianity. So my friends, I think, yes, people are hearing the gospel, right? The word of God is spreading everywhere through missionaries, through other medias and all that, through print media, through oral, right? Through every means, people are just, you know, hearing God's word. I'm not sharing this to make you scared and think, oh, Jesus is coming back, you know. So I'm not saying that, my friend. Two questions I want you to ponder throughout this week, right? Because are we sharing the gospel? Because we're living in the end times. Look at the signs that's happening. Look at the world that we are living in, my friend. Look at the things that's happening in this world, right? Are we really sharing God's word? Do we realize the urgency of sharing God's word? Maybe your friend who's working beside you, right? You might think, I'll see him next week. Maybe he or she might get involved in an accident. You might miss that opportunity to share God's word, my friend. Are we sharing God's word? We are living in a time we need to, we have to share God's word. And secondly, let me put this question. If Jesus comes today, are you ready? If Jesus comes today, am I ready to meet my Savior? Right? Is my life ready to say, Lord, anytime, O God, right, I'm just ready to meet you. We're living the last times, the end times, my friend. We do not know when, right? But we surely know Jesus is coming. Let's share the gospel. Let's make every opportunity that God has given to us to share the gospel, my friend. Let's stand and just tell God, let people know that, you know, that Jesus is the only way. At the same time, let us be ready. Let's not miss the opportunity of being with the Savior. Let's pray. Words that Jesus spoke to the disciples were the last week of his ministry, of his earthly ministry. Some scholars say it was Wednesday, and Jesus was crucified on Friday, and Jesus was teaching the disciples. I believe Jesus was saying, because that was in his heart, he wanted them to know, and he wanted them to be ready for his coming. Dear friends, we live in a world, we live in a country. Sometimes we do not know what's happening in the world. But the more we read, we realize that we are living in the end times. Sometimes we say, you know, life is so scary. When was the last time you shared the gospel to someone who's working with you or in your office place? When was the last time you even uttered the word Jesus to them? Or when was the last time you ever said, you know, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus? Because you might not see them. The Lord is coming, and if He comes today, am I ready? Are you ready? Maybe this week might be a last week. We do not know. It might be a last week for me too. I do not know. But am I ready to meet Jesus? Father, we thank you, Lord, for reminding us in John chapter 14, O God, that you are the way. Help us, O Lord, to follow the way and live a life, O God, according to the way. Help us, O Lord, to realize the urgency of sharing your word, O Father. Lord, help us, O Lord, to take every opportunity that is given to us to share your word. We thank you, Lord, that we belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.